I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we are very excited to welcome this afternoon a guy originally from Oklahoma. I think you're in Nashville now, right, Parker?
Mm-hmm.
It is Parker Millsap and his band. Welcome, Parker.
Howdy. Glad to be here.
We're so excited to have you here. We've been spinning. You have two albums that are kind of better known out. I think you had like a one that you released yourself before
that.
Yeah,
Mike and I did one before that. Yeah.
Okay. Who's the bass player here?
Yeah.
We've been playing both of them and enjoying them. And you're playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. Jerry Small is opening up. That starts at 8 o'clock. Do you want to introduce the rest of the band?
Yeah, over here on the bass, since you already mentioned him, that's Michael Murrow Rose. We've been playing together for about 10 or 11 years now. And then over on the drums is Patty Ryan, all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And on the fiddle, we got Daniel Folks.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hear this. So why don't we get started with the song, and then we'll come back and find out a little bit more about you. What do you want to start with?
We're going to do a new song. It's called Your Water.
Oh, is it on? It's not.
There it is. Here we go.
I was losing. I was lost. Cursing everything that I come across. I was wounded, I was weak, I didn't realize I needed a drink of your water, it floods my memory, and it quenches my soul. I was busted, I was broke, drowning in the darkness and starting to choke. I was struggling, I was stranded, but then I bent down and cupped my hands in your water. It floods my memory and it quenches my soul. Frustrated, I was sluggish and sedated. I was wounded, I was wasted, I was blind up until I tasted your water. It floods my memory and it quenches my soul. It floods my memory. Quenches my soul.
That's Parker Millsap live from Studio A, and a new tune from them, Your Water, name of that one?
Yeah, Your Water,
okay.
Yeah.
And you say new, and I'm assuming that's since you put out your last album, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that song I recorded with my friend Sarah Giroux, and they put it out on Third Man Records on a 7-inch, and it's on Spotify and all that.
Now. Oh, so, that's right. Yeah. I was like, that sounds familiar, but it's not on the album.
Yeah.
Well, because oftentimes, this album actually came out more than a year ago now.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, when I have bands in the studio and they've been on the road for a while with an album, they're already thinking about next album.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, usually when you walk out of the studio from one, you're thinking about the next one. Yeah.
A lot of times you've been living with those songs for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that the case with this album? Did you live with them for a while before you... Your latest one. I'm sorry. It's sitting down here, but
yeah,
you can't see it.
Some of those we played on the road for a little while. And then some of them are written kind of right before we went into the studio. I find that's usually how it works, kind of half and half.
Well, and that's always interesting because then after you start playing them, they might change a little bit. Did that happen?
Always. Every song we've recorded is completely different now live.
Is there one that particularly stands out to you that really transformed from when you recorded the album, which is called The Very Last Day, by the way?
Not off of that record necessarily, maybe a little bit, but off of, there's a tune on our first record that Mike and I did called Palisade that's just wildly different than it was. You know, it's had like 5 years or so to morph, though.
Well, and it sounds like you worked with these guys for a while. You've worked mm-hmm. with Michael since junior high, I've heard, musically.
Since I was about 14 mm-hmm. and Mike was 16 or so, yeah.
And then how long has the rest of the band been?
Dan has been with us on the fiddle for five or six years now. And then Patty's been with us about 3 years on the drums now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So really, when you've played with people that long, you kind of develop almost a shorthand, I would think. And it helps to...
Sort of, but a lot of it's just like feeling what the next person's going to do. I can't describe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mm-hmm. just learn their intuition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, you're originally from Oklahoma, and you grew up in a Pentecostal family, but not the kind that, you know, where you couldn't listen to popular music or anything like that.
Right, I was allowed
that.
To watch Rugrats. Yeah.
And your dad, your mom and dad had a pretty cool record collection, it sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of cassettes, but yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, a lot of pretty cool cassette collection. Yeah. So you really were exposed to kind of a wide variety of music as well mm-hmm. as in the church.
Yeah.
I was reading something that I found really interesting, and you were talking about the difference between singing in church and just that more natural kind of, and just from the heart kind of style mm-hmm. versus kind of a slicker professional thing. Tell me a little bit about that and what you got out of that.
Yeah, I just think in church you hear a lot of real voices, you know, a lot of the voices that you hear singing, unless it's your friend or somebody you know, a lot of the voices you hear coming over speakers are just tailored, you know, like they've done a billion takes in the studio and they've compressed it perfectly and all this stuff. But in church, you get just really nasty sounds, or quote nasty, just really raw human voices in your ear all the time. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I just got used to it. I like it. I prefer that to just super smooth, I think.
So how do you have to think about how to stay, you know what I mean? Keep that in your music? Is that something that you try to keep in your music as you're going along?
I think if I don't think about it, it works way better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm trying to be something, I'm probably going to miss it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do a lot of, you've had a guitar for quite some time mm-hmm. since you were a little kid.
Got a few of them now.
I bet. And were you singing before you were playing guitar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Singing mm-hmm. in church, singing definitely. Church. And just singing whatever came to mind, mm-hmm. I guess, before I started playing guitar. But then once I started learning guitar, that took over for probably like 8 years of my life.
And when did you start songwriting? Because that's kind of a tricky thing.
When I was about 15 or so, mm-hmm. I really got into it. But my dad got me a nice acoustic guitar, and so I just sat down with it and tried to start writing songs on that.
And what kind of songs were you writing back then?
Just, you know, love songs. Songs about being sad. Songs trying to be artsy and poetic. Mm-hmm. Same thing I'm doing now.
Well, you do very character-driven songs.
Yeah.
Are you a guy that, have you always been an observer of people or just?
I don't know. A lot of times I'm just off in my own little world, to be honest.
Okay. But you come up with some really interesting characters in your song, and you kind of bring in things from real life, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not your real life.
Yeah, just
but
my imaginary real life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that your songs are a bit different than when we were 15.
In some ways, yeah. In some ways, no.
What's the oldest song that you still play? Like,
probably Palisade mm-hmm. is the oldest one that we still play. It's the first record that Mike and I really put out, and when we really started trying to get serious gigs and stuff was that mm-hmm. record, and we still do that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're originally from Oklahoma, and I was thinking, you know, there aren't that many contemporary artists from Oklahoma. And then I was like, well, there's J.D. McPherson and there's Samantha Crane, you know. So I guess there are more than I was thinking about. Although you're in Nashville now, I'm curious mm-hmm. about what was the music scene like for you when you were first playing? And
really accepting. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't old enough to really be playing in bars yet, and this place called The Deli gave us a gig, and a bunch of the local cats would come to our shows.
In what town? What town is that?
Oh, this is in Norman, Oklahoma, just okay. south of Oklahoma City, and just north of Purcell, where I'm from. And, they were just really inclusive and like, yeah, get up here and play, and do you need another gig? And, it was just really inclusive. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of the first gigs we did out when we were still in high school, we opened for Patty's other band, they were just gave us, I think they gave us like $50 or something, and we were like, hell yeah. And then, maybe it was 25. It wasn't enough to get a hotel that night.
Oh, no. So what did you do? What'd you do?
I think we just drove back to Norman. It's like 2 hours. It wasn't
crazy. That's not so bad.
It wasn't bad.
Okay, that's not so bad. So tell me about making the latest album. You had a different producer for this one.
Mm-hmm. Gary Pechoza.
And tell me what it was like working with him. And
it was great. He's done a lot of acoustic music, like a whole lot, like Alison Krauss and Dixie Chicks and things like this. It's kind of a specialty, but for that record, I wanted to play more electric guitar, and that he seemed kind of excited about it because he was so used to doing acoustic instruments. So he really kind of let us fly, like putting fiddles through amps and distorting vocals and all kinds of cool stuff. It was really fun.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. So this is a little bit different than your previous album in that regard?
Yeah, I feel like the previous album, the self-titled record, was a lot of overdubbing. It was mm-hmm. a lot of like get the basic track with an acoustic guitar and overdub everything else, whereas this one, Very Last Day, is a lot more live in the room. A lot of the takes are us like actually playing together as far as the instruments go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And there's a few songs on there that have a bit of an apocalyptic theme.
Yeah, totally.
And I know you've talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, some of it sounds like comes from your background in the church, but it also comes from the atmosphere when you were writing.
Yeah, yeah. It was
the space you were in.
Yeah, absolutely. Like in a lot of different ways, I was reading a lot of like apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic books, Witch of Hebron and The Road by Cormac McCarthy and Stephen King's The Stand, these like big kind of scary books. And then also I wrote most of those songs during the winter in Oklahoma, and the picture there, the color is about the color of most of Oklahoma during the winter, that brown.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
Like the sky, the land, pretty much everything's that color.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that had something to do with it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours are winters are a little whiter than that.
Yeah.
So
we rarely get snow, and if we do, it just turns to ice.
Mm, wow, that doesn't sound fun at all.
It's really exciting. Get out of school a lot.
That's always good. Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What do you guys want to play next?
We're going to do a song called The Morning Blues. But I got to put my harmonica on real quick. Up too early, that the way it seemed, I left the curtains open, curtains closing on my dreams. My baby's eyes are empty, it's like nobody's home. I'm not afraid of empty, I'm afraid of all alone. So mama, let's lose. Come on, let's lose. I'm gonna close a curtain, wait until the afternoon.
That is Parker Millsap and his band live from Studio A. That's Morning Blues, and that one is one from The Very Last Day, that most recent album of his. Tell me about that one. Do you remember anything about writing that one you can share?
Yeah, I actually wrote that the first time I ever went to Nashville. I was working on it on the way there, and then in the hotel, after I did my gig, I finished it. Yeah. It's one of the only songs I've ever written on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's just not your thing right now. I mean, you're probably...
I just usually like to be alone for like 10 days
mm-hmm.
to write a song.
Do you get a lot of that time? Because this album came out, as we said, over, you know, back last year in March. And I imagine you've been on the road a lot since then.
A whole lot of road time, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we did like 120 or something shows last year, and it'll be about the same this year.
Mm-hmm. So. And you've done a lot of fun things. You've done South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
You've done Austin City Limits, which is such a fun show.
That was awesome.
You got to be on Conan. How was that?
He's tall. He's tall.
Yeah, he's a tall guy. So you've had some really fun opportunities.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very grateful.
And you've traveled in Europe, I think. You've toured
Europe.
Yeah,
we're actually going back to Europe in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Same places that you've been before, or breaking new ground?
Lots of new places.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Where have you been there, and where were kind of the places that seemed to receive you the best?
We've done, I think, 6 shows in Europe. So we did London, Manchester, we did Dublin, we did Belfast. We missed the Scottish gig because we missed our ferry. The ferry was late because of weather, so we missed that gig. But then we did a show in Amsterdam. So that's our history in Europe.
Nice.
And then, this time we're going to Scandinavia and spending a lot more time in the Netherlands. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
So, since you are in Duluth, which is the birthplace of Bob Dylan, there was an interview I read with you, and you mentioned something about Bob Dylan and some of the folk albums that he's done. So, I just wanted to ask you, as long as you're here in Duluth, what your thoughts are on Bob.
My thoughts are on Dylan. There's a whole lot of thoughts. I just love it. I really love how large his discography is and how varied. But how no matter what you pull from, like it could be like something from Infidels or it could be something from Free Will and Bob Dylan and sonically like completely different maybe, but it's always Bob. You know, you can always tell as soon as he starts singing, it's like, yeah, that's Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. And I love digging through it. I love listening to the early stuff. I love even the new stuff that he's putting out, Standards and whatever he wants. I think that's amazing. Yeah.
He's Bob Dylan. He can do what he wants.
What he wants. Yeah. That's being an artist, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And a successful artist.
Yeah, so pretty successful. I'd say he's had a little success.
Just a little bit.
we'll see how it works out for him, yeah.
And, of course, he was heavily influenced by an Oklahoma native, Woody Guthrie, mm-hmm. who probably looms large in Oklahoma.
Not really.
Really?
People don't like him because he's a communist to them, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So just not...
I mean, he has a large...
Center in Tulsa.
There's a Woody Guthrie Center in Tulsa. There's a whole lot. But I'm saying I've...
Bob Dylan's archives are at...
That's right.
Patty's correct. I'm saying where I grew up, like the community that I was in when I was... I'm not saying Oklahoma doesn't have any love for Woody Guthrie.
No,
that's ridiculous.
No, and I know exactly what you mean.
Like, just as far as the immediate culture that I was raised in, it was never...
Right.
There was like a mural of him in Oklahoma City, 30 minutes away, next to the train tracks.
Yeah.
And I wasn't super aware.
Because
besides, This Land Is Your Land in elementary school.
Right. Yeah. And like Bob Dylan is from Hibbing originally, and he wasn't always that popular there. He was, you know, he was just that annoying kid that, you know.
Yeah, that weird guy.
Yeah, that weird guy. And so I think that's often how it is, especially when people come from small towns or rural places.
Woody Guthrie was definitely that weird guy.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So because you've been, you have a new song out, or you have anything in the works, are you planning on a new album anytime in the near future?
Yeah, we got most of a record in the can, mm-hmm. just overdubs and mixing and mastering and promotion. And
oh,
all
wow.
All that has to come before we release it.
So you found some time between touring to actually write some tunes.
Yeah,
that's great.
We got like 3 weeks or something off, and then we were in the studio for a little more than a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, now we're just finishing it when we're not on the road.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're so excited to have you in Duluth.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And we're going to hear one more song. What do you guys want to wrap up with here?
Let's do Quite Contrary. This is a song off the self-titled record. It's a song about some nursery rhyme characters who learn to cook and distribute methamphetamines.
That is Parker Millsap live from Studio A. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Glad to be here.
Yeah, that was really great. And I love that you have a fiddle in the band.
It just if you're going to play in Texas.
That's right. It just adds that little touch that says, yeah, we got a little country here. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Just a little bit.
You know,
just
yeah.
A little bit.
We're a little bit country.
We're not like hand fishing or anything, but... But we'll go down by the creek.
Hand fishing, as okay, as in catching noodling. Fish with your hands.
Yeah, do you know, you never heard of this?
I think I have, actually.
It's a very oaky thing. Noodling, oaky noodling.
Oh, okay. Here, there's a lot of people who hunt fish with a bow and arrow in, where I'm from.
Wow. That's amazing. Give me one of those.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, guys. And again, these guys are playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. And Jerry Small is opening up at 8 o'clock. And then it is Parker Millsap and this fantastic band. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio 8 was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Cheyenne Vavrina, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio 8 under Programs. This is Live from Studio 8 on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.